All right, praise God, we're going to get into the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to be starting a series. And the title of the series is, But Wait, There's More.
Hallelujah.
Now,
amen.
Now, those of you who might go back a ways, there used to be some commercials that would be on TV, and they'd be advertising these kitchen gadgets, and it usually was a call-in type thing, and it said, you know, hey, it slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries, and they give you this whole thing, and they want you to call in, but wait,
yes. There's
more. And they tell you about these knives that never dull, even after you chop down a forest, and would say, and then you'd go into it, but wait, there's more. And so they'd give you all this pitch. But when we get to the Word of God, we have the same thing, but wait, there's more. There's more, and there's more in there for us, I think, than we really recognize or we really absorb or we really take advantage of, or not that we're trying to take advantage of God, but that He has provided for us. And if He has provided it for us, then we should receive it. So we shouldn't live in less than what He has provided for us. And it's His heart. He said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This pleases Him when we actually receive what He's provided. And so we're going to be spending some time looking through the Word and seeing what God has provided us, some of the things that He has provided for us. And this is scriptural. I was going through over the last few weeks just making little notes of things. Oh, God provided this. Oh, and God provided this. And a lot of times if you look like a word study, it just says, we have. And it'll say, we have this through what He did. And we have this. And we have this. And I'm making this. And I've got dozens already of little things that are just, we have this and we have this. Now, David told us in the scriptures that we should do this. And David said in Psalms 103, verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits. And then he proceeds to list some of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Then he talks about crowning you with loving kindness, tender mercies. He goes on and on about some of these. And he's reminding himself. So this is scriptural that we do this. We're not trying to take advantage of something that God hasn't provided. We're not trying to misdirect something, but this is something that He has provided for us. Now, the other thing on the purpose of this, the purpose isn't just to consume it on ourselves, all right? So God has given us great blessings, great benefits. God has given them to us. But the purpose, the focus on this, I don't want this message to come across as, oh, here's, there's a bigger vending machine. Now I have more buttons that I can push to get something else. It's not that you see God's picture that way. But we picture Him that He does want to bless us so that we can be a blessing. There is a world that is in trouble. There is a world that's hurting. There is a world that doesn't know the goodness of God. There's a world that could use what it is God has provided.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so for us to receive that, we can be an example of this and then be able to have that flow through us. I read an article a couple months ago, and it was an article in a UK publication, and it talked about a UK-wide survey, and they were studying, it was basically on the younger generation. And they said that 89% of 16 to 29-year-olds in the UK claim that their life lacks purpose or meaning. Now think about that. That's 9 out of 10 young people that say they have no purpose, that life has no meaning. And so they go into a path of, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But we have an answer. We have a light. We have a hope. We have something that we can share. And if we can get hold of the fullness of what God has provided for us, we are able to share that then with them. So with the world. It's like when Jesus looked around. I mean, we can see these, this statistic, let's say, oh, and we can get like, oh, wow, that's really bad. But we can look at it like the way Jesus looked at it and said, look, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. The world doesn't have an answer. That's why they're so despondent. That's why there's no purpose. They've been told all their life that they're animals, that they're here by an accident, that there's no purpose for them. And now they're at that point and say, well, then why? But we have an answer for them. So we're going to look at some things in here, into God's word, and we're going to do it with a proper perspective of God's provision, that we're going to be able to show that he is a loving Father that gives us all things richly to enjoy. That is, just like John said in his third letter to the church, he said, I would that you prosper and be in health. That's by the Spirit of God saying that. That's what he has for us. That's what he wants for us. So what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans is a great book. And as we get in here, let's pray. Because these are things that the Holy Spirit we want to reveal to our hearts. Not just something that's just a message out from a human understanding. We don't want just a good message. We want a word from the Lord. And that word from the Lord, the Holy Spirit will reveal to our hearts. So Lord, thank you so much. You are such a good God. Thank you for showing us in a word and giving us a revelation of just how good you are, just what you have provided for us, and showing us what needs to be tweaked. So not only that we can receive your fullness, but we can also share that fullness with the world. Thank you, Lord, that we see you with your eyes. We see you the way you want us to see you. Lord, we appreciate that. Thank you for this time. We receive your revelation now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Part of what we're going to be talking about, really, it builds on what Pastor Rose was doing the last 2 weeks when she was talking about get a picture. And when I was listening to her messages, I was like, wow, Lord, that is such a great foundation for what we're going to be going into here. Because when in the first message 2 weeks ago, she talked about get a picture of God. Does your picture line up with what God says? Because that's going to be critical in your receiving from him, in your seeing that more. And then it was, last week, was getting a picture of how God sees you. And we're going to be touching on those same areas in this as we talk about hindrances that might be keeping us from walking in that fullness of what he has for us, being able to receive that more. So we're going to be building on that. So that foundation is we're going to be continuing on that. So have you found Romans chapter 5? Now, Romans chapter 5, whenever I read Romans chapter 5, I just smile, because if there's a chapter in the Bible that more clearly says, but wait, there's more, I don't know it. This seems to be the chapter that Paul of the time is saying, but wait, there's more. All the time he's saying, oh, you have this, oh, and also this. But now wait, you also have this. And wait. So we're going to be going through some of that, but it's that same thought here. So we're going to pick it up actually in verse 8. So we're going to start in verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, my topic is, but wait, there's more that God has for you. But, and it's not love of God, but at the same time, you can't look at what God's provision is without seeing what his heart is. Yeah. His provision, you can't separate His provision from His love. So we're starting, all this starts with a position of God's love for you. When we see that, and notice how it says God demonstrated His love. Another translation said God showed His love. Another translation said God proved His love. All these things are action words. All these things are things that He did, not things that He just said. But He actually showed it. And this verse is really a powerful verse because it's telling us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, just in a few verses prior to this, Paul had made a comparison and he's talking about people. Hey, we'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who would die for somebody else. He said, even if you did find somebody that was really good, it'd still be difficult to find somebody who would die for them. But he said, but God demonstrated His own love towards you in that while you were still sinners, God died for you. And so this great overwhelming love, and we'll take that verse to demonstrate His great overwhelming love toward those who are not yet saved. And he said, I want you into the family. And that's true, but Paul didn't just write a verse and send it to the Romans. He sent a whole letter. And so the next verse really ties into it. Now, if you look at verse 9, the first two words in there are much more. Much more. Here we are going with it, but wait, there's more. Because as great as that love is, that while we were still sinners, God died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, sometimes we'll think, oh, much less, because we'll start looking at our own self. We'll start looking at our own goodness, or did we perform enough? But this is saying that much more than having been justified, His love for us after being satisfied is much more. It's like, hey, there's much more here. In comparison with what His great love was, that while we were still sinners, He died for us, much more now that you've been justified, you shall be saved. And if we continue on into verse 10, it says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now that phrase, much more, we saw it in verse 9, we saw it in verse 10. It actually uses that phrase five times in this chapter. He's all the time saying, well, much more, much more, much more. And He's given us the idea of that there's more here. You were saved. He saved you by His blood. And there's much more now that you have been saved, now that you have been justified. And Pastor Rose talked about this justified as made righteous, not by your own works, but by His blood, by His crucifixion. You were made righteous. But because of that, you have much more. Now, the word in these last two verses that was translated saved, in verse 9 and verse 10, being saved, is the Greek word sozo. And it's generally translated as saved, but there are times also when that same Greek word is used for healed. Like when the woman with the issue of blood touched His garment and received healing, and Jesus told her, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has sozoed you. That same word here is healed. The same word in a biblical sense, like from the Greek standpoint, means keep safe and sound. So it's talking about protection. It also has a context of deliverance, being delivered. So that there's what Paul is saying here, yeah, He saved you, all right? His great love for you, He saved you while you were still sinners. But much more also, you're sozoed. He sozoed you. And so we gotta catch that too, that He sozoed us. He healed us. He protects us. He delivers us. And we're going to be getting into some more of the details of that as we go through this, but I wanted to catch that, capture that. And it's not based on what you did. It's based on what he did. Now, I want to go one more verse here, because the beginning of 1st chapter 11, if you're reading out of New King James, and it says, and not only that. All right, so he started off saying something that was really tremendous back in verse 8. He said that when you were still sinners, he died for you. But much more than your sozo, and much more than, and not only that. So he's still building that. But wait, there's more. And you can see his excitement here, because he's just saying all these good things. You can just see his excitement as he's writing this to the Romans. He says, but not only that, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That was verse 10. Wait a minute. I got to go to the next verse. I lost my place. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, again, that word reconciliation, we can sometimes start thinking religiously with these terms. And so I think that's why it's always good to go back and say, okay, what does that word mean? What's it mean in the Greek? And if you look that up in the Greek, it actually has a connotation of exchange, like money changers, right? We're exchanging something. And so what's happening here, and that's why I think Paul's so excited here when he's talking about all these things. Hey, you've got this, you've got the salvation, you've got the sozo. He's done that. And not only that, we have now received the exchange. In other words, we've exchanged our sins for his righteousness. It talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He talked about us being justified just a couple verses up here. He said, having been justified, having been made righteous, it's already done. He would exchange our sickness for his health. He took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. So there's this exchange process going on. It also talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says that he became poor so that we through his poverty might be made rich. So there's prosperity in the message of the cross too. There's prosperity in this message. Paul is building, hey, this is something to be excited about. This is something that, don't miss out on this. Hey, wait, there's more. And not only that, there's this. Now, we could spend the series talking about the exchange for healing and healing, but we have a class every week that talks about that, that focuses on that, so you can learn how, hey, what's already been provided for you in that area of healing. And we've got a class coming up in November that's going to talk about prosperity, because we could spend the rest of the series talking about prosperity and what God means. Now, again, just like all these other things, the prosperity isn't just to consume on yourself. It's not just to get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. That's not the purpose of prosperity. The purpose is to be a channel, to be a flow, to be blessed, to be a blessing. So the same thing. Now we're going to have a class starting in next month, talking about prosperity, talking about chosen to prosper. So there'll be some explanation on that. So we may not get into all these dozens of things in a lot of detail, but it's enough right now to let you know that is part of what the Word has to say. So he's saying, and not only that, we have received. So he's going on talking about this exchange. And that's one of the things I think he was really excited about when he was talking to him. He said, this is exchange. You've been exchanged now. This is an exchange going on here. You now have the life of God in you. So when we see that, you know, it's possible to see that in the Word. It's possible to see the words and acknowledge it and say, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. And still have trouble receiving it. because a number of reasons, but I can tell you something from my personal experience. When I, back in the early 80s, first got exposed to the grace and faith message, and I found out that there was a lot more to relationship than, there's a lot more life in relationship than there is in religion. And I started seeing the goodness of God. But I saw it through a filter of performance, because the religion I had was performance-based. And so my, even from the world standpoint, it was performance-based. I mean, my job was performance-based. So I became performance-based in what came to the things of God too. And we have to watch that, and I didn't recognize it at the time, but what I would find myself doing is when I saw a promise of God, I would take it on my spouse, take it upon myself to make it happen. Okay, what do I have to do to make this happen? What do I have to do to get this healing? What do I have to do to get this prosperity? Rather than seeing it as having been completed. I could see the words that it had been completed, but to be able to walk in it, to be able to experience it, it felt like it fell on me. And if I wasn't receiving what I saw the word be, there'd be condemnation. They'd be like, oh, I didn't get this. Oh, I'm not doing it. And so part of that, and that can be a hindrance. That can hinder you because you still have a performance mentality or a filter. And even though you see the word where it says, yeah, he paid for it, now I got to make this happen. And you may not use those words, but that's really what was happening to me. How do I make this happen? How do I make this come to pass? And so that's one area. The other area is, maybe it's not for me. And we can think of different ways, because anybody here ever miss it? Oh, a couple of us. All right. And so did you ever have that when you miss it? And there's this promise, yeah, boy, I missed it. I missed it. And so now these promises all of a sudden become conditional to you, to your heart. They're not conditional from the standpoint of God holding a condition over you, but in our own mind, you know, we can condemn ourselves, or we can put conditions on them ourselves. And so we say, well, I didn't read the word. Or we say in the area of healing, well, it's the lifestyle I lived, so therefore I'm reaping what I sowed. Or in prosperity, we say, well, you know, I made these bad financial decisions. I got into this and that because of the lifestyle I lived. And so we can say, we can limit ourselves because of our thoughts on that. And so there's an area that we have to check, have the Holy Spirit show us some things. And this is where I think really one of the keys, and that's why I'm gonna come back around here to this key. How do we break that? Because I was under a paradigm of performance, but I didn't recognize that I was under that performance. I didn't recognize that at all. And so it took some time in the Word and some time with the Holy Spirit to get that started to get flushed out. And I can still have to watch that I don't slip back into that performance, where, ooh, I did something wrong. I can't expect to receive. And I tell you one thing that really, really, really helped in this is I'm going to show you a scripture. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's talking about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of this age. And he's talking about how we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It talks about how if the rulers of this age had known what was really going on, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. And then in verse 9, it talks about, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But then verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Then what I want to do is, and he talks a little bit about this, I want to go to verse 12. All right, I want you to look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now I want you to catch that. Because sometimes we have trouble receiving the things from God. We have trouble seeing ourselves worthy of them or excusing ourselves from receiving because of something that we did or for some other reason. And it says here that one of the things that the Spirit was given to us for, one of the things we have received the Spirit for, is that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And the wording on that is great because it says not just that we might know the list of things that he has given to us, but he has freely given to us. And I think it takes the Holy Spirit shining the light on your heart to show you this is free. Okay, this is free. This is a free gift. Yeah, but this is a free gift. Right. Yeah. This is free. Yes. And we need that Holy Spirit to do that. Be able to do that in our hearts. It's not something that we'll do in our own wisdom. It's not something that you can, in your own human wisdom, figure this out. Paul goes on and talks about that in the next couple of verses, about that it's not the human wisdom, but the wisdom of God. And then what I want to come down to is verse 16, which is in all this part of the same teaching. It says, but who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you think about the mind of Christ, all the wisdom of God, all these things that he has done for us, we have the mind of Christ. Now that's a tremendous thing. We sometimes think we read through these things, we have the mind of Christ, bum, bum, bum. But we don't stop and meditate. What does that mean? Just like I don't know that we always meditate on what's it mean to be righteous? What's it mean to be forgiven? What's it mean to have this exchange? But what's it mean to have the mind of Christ? We have an answer for every situation. And this is part of what the Holy Spirit then will help us, reveal to us, to bring that into our understanding. This is what's so powerful, and this is why I want to end, I want to have this as my introduction for this. The powerful about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about it, it seems like over the last few weeks, we keep talking back to come back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here we're talking about the Spirit showing us things. Here we talked about in this chapter about the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit revealing the wisdom of God to us. Now, in this same letter to the Corinthians over in chapter 14, Paul talks about praying in tongues. He talks about in verse 4 how when you pray in tongues, you're speaking to God. You're speaking mysteries. In that same chapter, he talks about how when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. And then it talks and it also says that when you pray in tongues, pray that you interpret. And so we can pray in tongues, pray the mysteries of God, pray the hidden wisdom of God, interpret it, and see the things that God has benefit us and be able to see what he has freely given to us more clearly. And that those are the adjustments that we can make in our hearts. And it's not something we can do in our own strength. I don't believe it's something that we can do in our own strength to really see the benefits of God to see what he has really provided for us. We can hear the words. We can acknowledge it mentally, but what it says in here, but the Spirit, who is from God, we receive that so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So when we finish, I'm gonna, as part of the altar call, I'm gonna have, if you're not speaking in tongues, if you're having trouble speaking in tongues, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you, I want to compel you, if I can use that word. If you want to know but wait, there's more. If you want to be able to experience that, but wait, there's more. If you want to be able to catch the benefits that he has for you, if you want to be able to walk in those, if you want to be able to see that and move out in that and be able to share that to a world who needs that, you want to have that revelation knowledge that it's not you, then you really need to be spending time praying in the Spirit. You really need to have that. This is so critical. The Holy Spirit, if you want to say there's all these benefits, but who will make it clear to you is the Holy Spirit. Who will show you in your heart where things are that need to be adjusted so you can receive? What things need to be adjusted is the Holy Spirit. Who will share with you the wisdom of God? The Holy Spirit. And it's not just about spiritual things, all right? It's every day. In John, when he's talking about the Spirit of truth, and he's talking about, it said that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. All truth. All truth. And he will show you things to come. I've drawn on the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ when I was working in a secular job. I was doing programming. And I had to, there was one time when I had to go over, we had to fly out to D.C. for a project, and it was one of my programmers had done some work, and he gave it to me, and I was going to be presenting it. And he showed me the software, and it was like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. It was too slow. It was that. And I said, but I had to get on a plane and take it out there. And I had a presentation. I think it was Monday. And so I got there. I think it was Sunday. I was just praying. And I started looking through a programming manual. And the Lord started speaking to me. And he's showing me some different things. And all of a sudden, I'm making a couple tweaks here, tweaks here, tweaks here. And the presentation went great. He said, oh, yeah, working great. It speeded everything up. It worked fine. It was like, well, thanks, Lord. Yeah. You know, it's not just about, okay, show me about righteousness, although it's important that is, because you have to understand that. You have to understand that it's not your strength. And so I've had so many times, God's a good programmer.
Oh, yes. Amen.
He is great. There'll be times that when I was programming, I would just stop and I would ask him. I'd say, Lord, how about this? What should we do here? And I'll get a thought. And we'll go down that direction and we'll do it. And I'll say, okay, great. Oh, I'll be like, right. And I'll find myself sometimes saying, wow, you were right, Lord. Imagine that. But you learn to trust his guidance. I'll do that around the house when I'm, you know, if I need a solution or an issue for something, I say, okay, how am I going to do this? Well, Lord, as you start to get a revelation of, but wait, there's more, you start drawing on that more. You start to expect that more. There's times when we can say, oh yeah, I know all these things, but what do we really expect them? You know, if we have an issue, do we really expect his protection? Do we really expect his peace? Do we really expect his health? If a pain comes, if something else, a symptom comes up, do we really expect that we receive it. Or we're saying, well, you know, I am X number of years old. Well, that's just the way. And then, you know what, that's natural thinking. Do we take a path of natural thinking? That's where the power of the Holy Spirit will lead us into that truth. And that's why it is so crucial, is the word I'm going to use. It's so crucial to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is so crucial for a life of victory. It is so crucial to be able to walk in the fullness and the benefits that he has for you, to be able to experience them, not just acknowledge them mentally, not just, oh, I know the list, but I know them inside me. They're revealed to me. They have been freely given to me. They are mine. I'm just excited about the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about the Holy Spirit. That you can, and I can catch some of the things how Paul was too. You know, Paul said, I spoke in tongues more than y'all. And I could see why. And that's why I think that's where he got this revelation for hey, but wait, there's more. Because he would pray in tongues. He'd get interpretations. He would see the truth of the word. Then he'd share it with them and said, hey, look at this. But wait, there's more. Hey, look at this. You know, you've been sanctified. You know what? You've been made righteous. You know what? It's not on yours. And he'll say, but wait, there's more. You have an exchanged life now. Then he'll say, hey, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. It talks about that in Jude. You build yourself up. Anybody ever need building up? Everybody ever need encouragement? Speak in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. It's something that you can do. It your mind rebels against it. Your mind is not really understanding it because it's foolish. It's foolish to the carnal thinking. It's like, this doesn't make sense. I don't see anything happening. I don't see what has happened. I don't see how this could possibly help. But the Word of God says, when you pray in an unknown tongue, you speak the mysteries of God. You're speaking directly to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I, like they say, I preach myself happy. Because the Holy Spirit is great. Now, we're going to get some more on the benefits next week, but I want to give you a week to pray in tongues so that you can see more clearly when we come into this next week, when we start sharing about some of the things and some of the benefits, that you'll be able to approach it from, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit showed me this. Oh yeah, it'll click. Things will start clicking on the inside of you. You'll be able to see the truth of, hey, this is not just words on a page. This is not just something that's just for the sweet by and by. But these benefits are for the here and now. They're for us now. God so loved us that he made provision for this present age. Peter talked about that. He said in his first letter, I believe it was, he talks about whose divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Who better that can give you a knowledge of him than the Holy Spirit? Right? Who can reveal to you the heart of God better than the Holy Spirit? Nobody. No one can, and he's been given to you so you to have that knowledge. So thank you, Lord. Lord, that is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Now, I know a lot of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Some of you here may not be very fluent. Some of you may have never received. Some of you may have never seen why do I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you maybe said, oh yeah, I received that years ago. I checked it off my list. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's more than a list check off.
Amen.
It is. It's a life. Amen. It's a life of relationship. You're communing now with God. That's your vehicle to communicate. That life changing. So, if you need help in this area, if there's something that you're curious about, if there's something that you feel, some of you you're going to feel the tug of God. Said you need this. You need this. You need this. Then I want you to come and talk to our prayer ministers. Can I have the prayer ministers up front? Because God has a divine appointment for you today.
Amen.
So that you can become fluent in this. So that you can receive that. So that you can receive that fullness of what he has for you. Get excited so that you can expect to see this. Amen. All right, I want to pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the message that you had this morning, Lord. Thank you for the divine appointments that you have this morning. Thank you for sharing your heart and how much you love us. How much more there is for us than we even realize. Thank you. I just feel led for a few minutes here. Those of you that know how to pray in the Spirit, I just want you to pray in the Spirit. Here we've been talking about it. Paul said, I speak with in the Spirit and I speak in understanding. I seek in the Spirit. I sing in the Spirit. I sing with my understanding. This needs to be a lifestyle. Pastor Schoen talked in the beginning here when he was doing the interview between the after worship. He's talking about the last day of the feast when Jesus said, out of your belly will come rivers of living water.
Yeah.
This he spake of the Spirit.
Yeah.
This is available to you.
Hallelujah.
Rivers of water, refreshing,
yeah.
Peace,
thank
fullness.
Yeah.
Of all his benefits, this one would have to top the list. You have been given the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So, if you don't, this is not something you just do at church. This is something that's a lifestyle. Tap into that. Tap into that life. Tap into that flowing river. Let it flow out of you. Keep that fresh. Let it nourish, refresh you. Lord, thank you. Now, if you have any need, but if God's talked to you about here and tugging at you to say, I need some help with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need some more. Tell me more about this. I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you see that and you know the Lord told you, come on up. If you have other areas that just, I'm having struggles with this, being able to do fluently, come on up. If you have any other need, like I'm in any area, come on up. See our prayer ministers. And then don't go out of here the same as you came in. All right? Don't go out of here the same. This is a life-changing moment. It really is. And then we're going to continue next week because there's more. All right? So praise God. You are dismissed. Amen.